Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. A hard cut on the music by Ryan. It is the Mark Order Podcast. I am Ryan, joined as mostly always by my co-host, Asian Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Mostly always, I'll take that. It's better than other people who are sometimes hosting on this show. But otherwise, yeah. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. You know, that other person who promised that she'd be more consistent starting every other week and then, you know, upping from there, and then for some reason is counter-programming us tonight only because, oh, they pay her and that's a job and all, you know, whatever that is. Yeah, I don't approve, you know, I just don't approve. Before we start, though, I got to do something. There was all these, I don't remember ever seeing these sounds in, like, StreamYard before.
In my mind, yeah.
So yeah, now I have things to bring in that I may have to at some point play with. So that's not fun for everyone, but I just noticed it and I wanted to see what they were. So yeah, we're here to cover this week's episode of Dynamite. I never remember where they are.
They were in Texas.
That's right. Austin, Texas. Did Texas get hit by the storm?
Dallas did.
I don't know about Austin. Yeah, I did. I know.
A lot of people from Northeast got hit pretty good.
Yeah, I'm hoping we don't get another one this weekend. I really don't know where we're going to put all of it.
It was just really cold here. We haven't got any snow, thankfully.
The hard part was it wasn't just snow. It was ice. So we had like, I want to say you had 6 hours of snow, 6 or 7 hours of like heavy snow. And then 4 or 5 hours of just ice. So if you had 7, 8 inches of snow, you had to add 2 or 3 inches of just ice on top of that. Mm-hmm. Which of course, just shoveling that up is, you go out midway through or before that and you try to take care of it, but it wasn't fun. But we'll see. Piece is saying a lot of ice in places in Texas and they're not built to handle it. Yeah, I mean, I know that happened down in like the southern states, like Atlanta and stuff. They're not built for it. I know it's always a joke when you're like, oh, they got a little rainstorm or ice storm, I should say. They can't handle it. They make fun. It's like, but if you're not set up, if you don't have the trucks that have salt, if you don't have like, you know, all that stuff, it's like the same people who are from like Canada, like certain places in Canada or like upper north places in America where they're like, oh, you guys can't drive in the snow. It's like, I don't have snow tires. I don't have chains. I don't have any of the stuff you need to drive in snow. Like, let's be fair here.
It's almost as if climate changes.
Dun dun. Oh, do they have a dun dun sound on this? Oh, if they have a dun dun, we're done. Hold on, there's more sounds, and I just got to see what they are.
But yeah, I mean, living here in Omaha, we haven't got as much snow as we had when I was growing up. So now, the last 5, 8 years, it's been really cold.
You know what I say to the cold? It should not. You're all going to hate that I noticed that.
So Kate comes back for this.
Oh my God. Is there any other good ones on here? I mean, there's a few, but I'm looking for like, you know, I know they're out to get me.
I didn't know you lived in Dallas. Yeah, I have friends who live up in Flower Mound, so right outside of Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, and that's the problem. If it rains, you have to time your salt like right before it's going to turn to freezing because of that. If it rains, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. Just not set up for it. Like, you know, and then the whole thing. It sucked. And I don't want more. And Jersey might get more. And I'm very upset about this.
What is what? Oh, Jersey might. Yeah.
Jersey might get more of it. We're not sure. It's could miss us. I'm praying it misses us. Mm. Yeah. And again, at this point, we won't even get that much. Just where the hell are we putting it all? Yeah. We're not built for this. Listen, I fully admit I run from the grind of shoveling. I do it because I have no choice, but.
You have a snowblower?
I do. Yeah, okay. And it wasn't working great. There was something wrong with it that I think we fixed, but because borrow it, you know, you use one person here doesn't need a snowblower. We get so infrequently but I still have to shovel steps and stuff for people. Mm. Like, you know, neighbors help each other out, but it's like, all right, they do this. It's like, all right, you shovel steps and all to help everyone out. And it's like, ugh, it's just a lot. And I'm a lazy, lazy man. But that's not the why we're here. We're not here to talk weather. We're not the Weather Order podcast. Though in winter months, we would probably get a lot of listens and views if we knew what we were talking about. Did you just do a sound effect?
No, I did not. Did you?
No. What was that?
I have no idea.
I'm like, that's weird. I'm just adding sound effects.
You are some kind of psycho. Yep.
Listen, I'll be bored about these within a day. Not even a day. Before. I'm already bored, but I discovered it right now, and I had to play with it. Anyway, we're here to talk Dynamite and the news of the week. There wasn't a lot of wrestling news during the week, I felt like. I guess we had already, even though I don't think we were here when Hobbs officially left to go to WWE and confirmed it, we already talked that to death. But so I'm going to start with something that was in the show, but it feels like though it. Hold on, I'm confirming something.
Oh.
And by that, I'm just looking up something.
That's Ryan. Okay. What are you looking up?
Are you? Well, I do have a question for you. Are you? Oh, no, we're good. I was going to, I'll tell you what I was looking at in a second, but are you Tony Khan's burner? That's my first question.
One a minute. Yeah. Why?
I don't know. Apparently, it was a talking point this week. I really couldn't care less if a guy had a burner or not like that.
So many celebrities or professional athletes or other people, they all have burners, right? Kevin Durant, yeah, 13 of them.
I'll never understand having a burner to defend yourself in some respects because it's like, why do you care?
No, I wouldn't use it for that. I usually use it to
spy.
Yeah, lurk and spy.
Yeah. Without having a feed that's like, all these notifications and all this stuff. But at the same point, I also understand if like, I guess it's hard if you're constantly getting attacked, you have the desire to defend yourself. I don't know. But what I was looking up was to make sure that he got the graphic, and he did. Mm-hmm. On tonight's show, we saw the debut of Tommaso Ciampa. He has literally just left the WWE. I think he left like last week. And Mark Briscoe put out an open challenge to anyone but the Don Callis family. It goes black, but this time it went black in a respectable way because it was to highlight his intro board. And out comes Tommaso Ciampa, the Psycho Killer, with Ciampa. I don't know how they say it. Psycho Killer to a really, I liked his theme a lot. What do you think of Ciampa coming to AEW?
I was not expecting this to happen this quickly. You know, all the reports kept talking about how he really was going to maybe like do some indie stuff and things like that, but he also wanted to do some New Japan work. So it makes sense he's in AEW, but I just wasn't expecting it to happen this fast, to the point where, you know, WWE moved into the alumni section like yesterday or 2 days ago, and now he's here. But I wasn't quite sure what the music was either. I'm just so ingrained to WWE music that I had no idea what his presentation would be like.
Agreed. I mean, I didn't know it was him until you see Psycho Killer, but there was no hints in the music. Like, I think in the indies, he must have walked out to Talking Heads or something, because I saw a couple people asking for that. I don't, as much as, you know, I would enjoy the Talking Heads, I get why Tony probably didn't want to go pay for that. I'm with you. Did not see it happening this quickly. They don't usually move this quickly on stuff.
But maybe, maybe they're doing this to move it quickly in case, you know, the WWE has some debuts of former AEW talent coming up in the couple of days.
Yeah, like, well, so we know Hobbs. Hobbs would be probably be in the room. Anyone else? Am I missing someone?
There's a Jericho rumor.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about Jericho. Jeez. Yeah, no, it's not a bad idea to, like, try to keep some of your momentum with bringing your own guys. I'm sure he worked out with AEW. Like, cause AEW has a far more relaxed indie policy than WWE. So he probably worked out how many of those dates he could do. They let you work in New Japan, which I know he wanted to do anyway. So, like, he can go do that. So there is a... It makes sense in that regard that he could probably get everything he wanted without sacrifice, like not sacrificing much, but he gets to wrestle in AEW. And I think just who he is wise, he seems like a good fit for AEW. I mean, he was a wrestler's wrestler. He was never overly dependent on the mic. Like he was much more ring based. I mean, he was fine on it. I'm not insulting, but he was much more ring based. I think he's perfect. The interesting thing I think is they're setting him up for a TNT title shot right off the bat. So I'm wondering if, like, do you have him go out and lose? I mean, I would be okay if he beat Mark Briscoe and, like, that was how you started him.
Yeah.
But still, and Big G pointing out Ciampa is not under a non-compete because his contract expired. Yeah, but even then, you're right, Big G, but even then they moved typically. It's not like 2 days ago he gets put to the alumni page and now he's debuting. Usually there's like a couple weeks in between just to, like, if nothing else, the wrestlers want to take off and like, let me have some. For a little while there, it felt like AEW was getting burned by ex-WWE guys who came over. They didn't seem to fit the same way. That during the period that AEW struggled, it seemed to be like when they were just taking any WWE cast off. Now they're a little more selective. Obviously you get your legends who we haven't seen in a while, which is, you know, Copeland and Christian Cage. But besides those, they seem to be a lot more careful. Andrade, they already knew. But I think Ciampa was on the indies for probably as long as he was in WWE. So, like,
yeah, I mean, he was in WWE for what, the last 10 years? And I mean, he was in ROH, so he had that familiarity with people here in AEW who are there.
Apparently he was in WWE from 05 to 07. I never knew that.
Well, yeah.
And then, yeah, he was
one time.
Yeah. And then he was if Wikipedia is right, he was on the indies from 07 to 16, and then part of that being Ring of Honor, obviously. And then, yeah, he was WWE basically from then on. Mm-hmm. So just as much time in the indies as he did in WWE, which I think is a difference when you're bringing in a guy who's like, we're bringing in an ex-WWE guy. When a guy's got the ROH history, he's just more of like... he's more in line with what AEW is versus maybe a guy who's only been in the WWE environment, because those guys, it's just totally different where he's like, no, I've worked that different style and whatnot. I mean, I love the signing. But I was shocked, legitimately shocked. I did not think that they would go out of their, that they would sign, he would come this quickly. I thought it'd be months before he showed up. I thought he would do like an initial indies run, you know, I'll go do my indies and we'll see how I do. And then I'll show up. But no, he was right. You know, which I'm not complaining about. No. But that happens a little later. That's all the news. you know, we don't do commercials much on here anymore because we've cut the show down pretty short, so it's hard to fit them in. They take up more time than most of our segments. But again, check out the Shining Wizards Network. Check out the Shining Wizards. There's a lot of great shows on there. A lot of people you should support who do all different kinds of, some of it's not even wrestling content, but for those that do the wrestling content, different viewpoints, and you'll hear here and you'll hear here, here. I hear here got me. Bunch of different viewpoints, and you'll hear here.
Here.
So go check them out if you have a chance. Please do. They've always been supportive of us. So now we'll move on to Dynamite in Austin, Texas. And the show started out with a fun match. I wouldn't call it a banger or anything like that because it was too short to be one of those. But it was Kenny Omega versus Rocky Romero. They let Rocky get in more offense than I was expecting initially, but I'm glad because I'm a Rocky Romero fan, so it was nice to see him have a chance a little bit to shine. There's a very good video online going around of him where he like slides and like shimmies to the camera, and then Kenny just nails him in the back of the head. But pretty standard match. Then after the match, Kenny is interviewed by Tony Schiavone wearing highlighter color tie and sneakers. Like bright highlighter color. Kenny reiterates he hasn't felt this good in years. He's excited. He wants to face MJF. Then comes Hangman and Page, kind of about how they've made up, but like, sorry, Kenny, you're gonna lose. Out comes Swerve. Swerve saying like basically the same thing. I'm gonna win. Then Don Callis comes out and says like, hey, you guys think you're gonna win, but Andrade is. And then Omega chases Don out. So that was a pretty typical every challenger comes out thing. They don't do a ton of that. I don't really love that style segment. But at least it followed a match. It wasn't just like the beginning, like at least you had a match there. So what did you think of the match? And what did you think of the post-match interview?
The match was an interesting match. I wasn't expecting Rocky to be thrust into this match where, you know, Kenny needs to beat Rocky to advance to this, you know, semi-final of a contenders match. But Rocky got the offense he needed to get in. He got the typical heel offense, you know, like taking shortcuts when you're undersized and not as strong and looked down upon as a, you know, not a main event wrestler. So he got that kind of offense, and I thought, and to your point, when you talk about V-turners in the back of the head, one, it did look nasty. And two, I love the camera angle of how it's like right so low on Rocky's face, and all of a sudden you see Kenny shoot in like a bolt of lightning and smack him across the head. So yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was what it was. The Don Callis family stuff, it was the theme of the show tonight. I think I wrote in my notes that we're treading on them doing what we got tired of the Death Riders doing, which was just dominating the whole show. And I think we'll probably talk about that more as we go on tonight.
You're not wrong, though, and we are definitely going to talk about that because I'm not a fan of that. It's not saying I'm not a fan of the Callis family, but you got to space that stuff out. It becomes too much. There are some interesting stories we'll get to and a couple cracks in the foundation that I think we should note. But we'll get there. Our next match was Ace Austin versus John Moxley. They build Ace is from Atlantic City, but I don't think he's a Jersey boy. But if he is, hell yeah. But I got to support my Jersey guys. Got to support them. But this was a fun match. And I put it out there on the Twitter. But I like that they had Ace exchanging like kicks, chops, punches. Like he was brawling with Moxley, because when you look at Ace and you look at his style, he's a high flyer. He's innovative. So I think it actually favors him in the long term to have these matches where he's a bit more creative with it. Not creative, where he's a bit, well, no, creative, like where he's not just a high flyer. He can kick, he can punch, he can I'm striking. I could not think of striking. Jesus, where he's as good, you know, a striker as well. So I really appreciate that. I think he was allowed to get in a lot of offense, which was nice too. This wasn't a squash. He did eventually lose because John Moxley had the Death Rider after hitting a cutter, like kind of caught him out of nowhere and then gives him Death Rider. After the match, Takeshita makes his way to the ring. Kindly points at him. He's like, I'm coming for that belt. But then Davis and Doyle attack Moxley from behind and lay him out. However, it's important to note, Takeshita kind of shook his head, like kind of disgustedly at like them attacking Moxley. Like he wasn't happy they did that. So there's a little bit of the cracks forming. That's what I was talking about. Like he is continuing the story of like, he's not really happy with the Callis family. Cause it seems like that was his moment. He didn't want them involved. And I can agree to that. And Laurent Ford in chat agreeing with us that Callis family is way too big part of the show. Like, yeah, this was again, another segment, you know, this segment actually would have been, I get that they're showing the cracks in the Callis family, but this would have been fine if he just ended it with Takeshita. Because you don't really, like, even though he's part of the Callis family, that moment with Moxley doesn't feel Callis family. It just feels like two awesome wrestlers. It's not until Davis and Doyle come in that you're like, oh, it's the Don Callis family.
Right.
So that's just my 2 cents. What are your 2 cents on the match and the after?
The match was fun. I like to your point, the brawling style that Ace Austin tried to use in this match was something different than what I'm used to seeing him use. But also, I thought it kind of to his detriment, trying to brawl with Moxley. I mean, if anything, I would try to do the opposite with him. But I thought the match was just a way of storytelling of him, Austin being the younger wrestler and making the mistakes and trying to do something that he shouldn't, and Moxley just capitalizing because he's the veteran, kind of like the cutter out of nowhere to get the win. As far as the after-match things, definitely agrees to Takeshita slowly wanting to get out of the family and not really vibing with the family dynamic. And Davis and Doyle, I'm kind of surprised they didn't do what they usually do, where they come in, attack, and then all of a sudden they bleed into their match with FTR. I really thought they'd go right into that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Davis and Doyle and the Death Riders, as we'll talk about later.
We will get to that. It's I'm excited for Takeshita versus Moxley. That'll be awesome. So then we go to another match featuring a Don Callis family member, El Clone versus Mark Briscoe for the AE. This was a championship match. So for the AEW TNT championship, Moxley Ace Austin match was a, what do they call them?
Eliminator.
Thank you. I'm blanking on symbol word. Guys, it's been a week already. This was an actual match. Couple things. One, I don't know why I just always want to say clon, not clone. And I know it's clone, but I am a simple man who reads phonetically, and that is clon to me. Two, I think every time El Clone loses, he should have to come out as like another number. El Clone 1, El Clone 2, El Clone 3, El Clone 4. Like, you've defeated this clone, so now the next clone goes out. This was a fucking fun match. El Clone showed the fuck up. I mean, we know, listen, Mark Briscoe's been around a long time, and everyone knows that he can put on, I mean, it traditionally wasn't tag matches, but overall can put on some really fucking good matches. El Clone just hung in with him. I mean, he was doing stuff off the ropes. He was striking. He was all over the place. He then got Jay Drillered at some point and popped right up and like cracked his neck. I mean, that was a really badass moment. I'm glad you don't see that a lot. It really did look like El Clone might win for a minute. And then Mark Briscoe just did a schoolboy roll up, but he put the weight in the right way so it didn't look weak, because schoolboys suck when like the guy just kind of has his one arm. But when you lean full weight and he gets the pin over El Clone, and then of course we talked about the after, because that's when Tommaso shows up. So what do you think of the Clone versus Mark Briscoe?
Another match of a differing style, kind of like the previous match where, you know, you have Briscoe who's kind of a wild card, and then Elfone is just a super athletic guy who's bouncing all around. Also, I forgot that he was undefeated in singles action. So that was kind of an interesting call.
I forgot that.
Yeah, I mean, they mentioned it, and like, I guess I didn't realize it, but fun match. I really thought he would, I thought Elfone might win after he, pretty much no-sold in Jay Driller. I don't remember seeing a whole lot of people bounce up right away after that. But yeah, I don't know where to go from here, other than being kind of this mid-card guy, but I think there's a lot of opportunities for him to have some really fun matches with some certain talent. I am a little, I got distracted by his taunting of his little thing where he does this, and then.
Yeah, that, and the camera went down with him.
Yeah, he doesn't win too much.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah. Fun match, and then all to set up what we saw afterwards with Ciampa, even better.
Yeah. The Ciampa thing really took that segment, but the match was awesome. Don Callis was on commentary, felt like all night, and I will say this, and I think it was during this match where Callis was on commentary, and Elklund, I don't remember the move Elklund pulled out, but he pulled out a pretty good move, but it was kind of like within the story of like it was reactionary. It wasn't, you could just tell, like wasn't supposed to come off as a planned move. It was supposed to be cool reactionary. And Callis is like, oh, we worked on that all week. And it's starting to I'm starting to wonder why anyone's in the Don Callis family, because he steals all their thunder. Everything they do, he planned it. He took care of it. And then when they win, it's the title's coming back to him. It's like, hey, guys, like, why are you working with such a selfish man? Like, you know, he's stealing your glory.
Yeah. A tale as old as time, you know, like getting sold a bag of goods from a guy you think he will help win championships and take you to the promised land, all for his own glory.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting.
We're seeing like you said, so
yeah, we are, and I appreciate that because they're just too big. They're gonna have to split. We come back from commercial, and you have Renee Paquette with Kyle Fletcher and Okada meet face to face, and Okada apologizes, saying like, "Hey, he didn't when he used the screwdriver. He didn't realize like, hey, I'm gonna be stealing this from Kyle. Like, it wasn't going through his head." That he wanted to meet in the finals, and he's sorry. Fletcher says he was mad, but Okada's apologizing. That takes a big man. So they shake hands. Though I feel like this isn't authentic. I don't know. Do you feel like this is authentic?
I mean, when has Okada ever said something authentic? I was just kind of waiting. Once Kyle left, I was really waiting for the finger, or for him to call him a bitch or something.
Yeah, I.
I was waiting for some kind of like, finger or kind of like.
Yeah, like to be like, shake your hand and be like, bitch. Yeah. But I do think, obviously, I don't think this is authentic on Okada's part. I think there's Okada's, like, Fletcher is still heel, but he's starting to pull away. Takeshita's starting to very much not act like a heel at all. But Okada is heavily leaning into the heel lifestyle.
I think Fletcher's going to have to make another decision, kind of like when he joined the Callis family, of like, what side do I join, right? Like,
yeah. Am I
my brother?
Yeah, as Pisa says, are you Don Callis or are you Don Callis Wolfpack?
It's all the DC universe.
Yeah. God. Gee, the DC universe. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Just as coherent as the real DC universe. So then we go to MJF, and he's in the ring, and he starts cutting his promo. He starts insulting the place, along with Taz. So I guess Taz is starting to go more heel commentator at this point. I guess with Hook being heel, I figure let's make Dad heel, but not fully. And I can appreciate that. I'm okay with a commentator who's got a little bit of heel in him and like takes the heel side sometimes. I just get very annoyed when it's like over the top, because the only one who ever fully pulled off over the top was Bobby the Brain Heat. Everyone else has just been a poor imitation of it, and they just need to stop. Like, you're not as good. You won't be as good. Nigel is a great middle, like, because Nigel's not a heel, but he'll support the heels when he thinks they're doing something clever. Like, that's a smart way of doing it. But anyway, MJF is talking, and out comes Brody King. And they have their typical black back and forth. And the reason I say black and forth is because MJF called out Malachi Black. He referenced his name, which I'm shocked. Then he kind of insults Buddy Matthews, you know, when he's, oh, then you followed Buddy Matthews, a name that inspires. He's like, shot was unnecessary. Asks about his ankle, but then says he doesn't care. I did like Brody King's response being like, I'm not following anyone. I just have friends. Like, that's a fun response of being like, you're an asshole. You don't know what a friend is. I have friends, and that's why we team up. They go back and forth. Apparently MJF, because I saw a comment a couple times, and I didn't hear it. I mean, I heard it, but like, it's went over my head. Said that Brody King, that he's never met a more liberal man who looks like a Nazi. So that was an interesting insult. Brody King gets on the mic and says, you're right. Because Brody King gets on the mic and says, you said to me that I didn't beat anyone worthwhile to earn that title shot. Well, you're right. So I talked to Tony Khan, and I'm going to have an eliminator match against you. So he's getting his match. And if he wins, then he earns a title match at Grand Slam Australia. It was, I like eliminator matches in AEW a little bit, because very often the champion wins. I don't know if that's going to be the case here, which I won't be happy with, because I want Brody to have his shot at Australia. I just don't want him to beat MJF. Like, I don't like when your champ loses, unless MJF loses by like DQ or something cheap. I can accept that. It's going to be a fun match. I like the MJF is going to have to fight Brody King, and this isn't going to be 2 months of Brody King trying to beat up all the little guys before MJF gets to MJF. I like it's happening quick. Otherwise, it was a fine promo. I don't think it was anything special. Not every promo has to be special. Sometimes they just have to achieve what they achieve, and I think this got everything done. What do you think?
I'm just glad that Brody King is finally in a conversation of a world title picture. Even though you and I are on the same page, like, I don't see him winning this. I think this is kind of just a, you know, we need to fill some time for MJF until we get that story out between Hangman and Kenny and Andrade, you know, of who's going to face MJF. So it's a good thing, a good program to run. It's kind of short and can get Brody some exposure in the main title picture, and hopefully get him back into a single championship. If it's not the world title, make it something else for him, because he's too good to me to be wasted otherwise.
Agreed. We got Neo's RKH in chat. Very happy that, seems very happy that Tommaso Ciampa is all elite, and we're agreement. Neo's, you're not going to hear us argue that, that we don't think that's a good thing. We discussed it earlier. We both think Ciampa's going to fit in well with AEW. We're surprised at how quickly it happened, but happy he's there. There is a quick video package of the Young Bucks saying they're going back to the original Young Bucks of tassels and super kick parties, which awesome. You know why this is awesome? Because they started doing it already. Sorry, Nia's made me laugh with R-Truth saying, R-Truth, why is Triple H in AEW? That is a funny comment. But the Young Bucks had already gone back to doing this, but they hadn't really explained it. Like, obviously they turned good guys, but they hadn't gone through the whole thing. This is at least explaining of like, hey, we went this one direction and it didn't work out well for us. So we're going to go back to what made us successful. That is what we call logic. Uh-oh. Something wrong there, Joe?
No, I'm just wondering if they ever go and evolve their character, but in a face way. Like, will they ever not be the Young Bucks? Will they ever be the Bucks? Will they ever be facing but not wearing the tassels and look like, you know, how you view my fellow kids when they're, you know, when they get to the age of like 40 years old and are still dressing in tassels?
Yeah, that's a tough call because
at some point you end up looking at the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, you do. I think this one works right now because they're coming off such an extreme change to coming back to like, they were the founding fathers. They were, you know, and now you come back to the Young Bucks. And I think what you got to do here is reestablish the baseline and then quickly develop that back into a more like the more mature Bucks. Like, I think you can do that. You just got to, but I understand reestablishing the baseline of who you were.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, I'm with you. But then again, Rock and Roll Express made a living off of that.
They have, yeah.
I mean, I think they still wrestle sometimes. So you figure, work for them and the Rock, Big G, or the Rockers. Now, the Rockers didn't last as long. And then they got out of the business quick.
No one wants to be a Jannetty.
No one wants to be a Jannetty. Listen, I know Mario Jannetty's, I think, insane based on the stuff I've read. But how would you feel if like your name is used as being the less successful, less important, less talented member of a team? Like, that sucks. Like, because at least when people say, you know, the Pippen to Jordan, Pippen is still like, that's an elite level player saying like, you need that. Here it's like, man, you got left behind. Mm-hmm. Just ouch.
I know. You know what I mean, Tom? I tell people you never want to fool Ryan.
That hurts, Joe. Mm. You know what, Joe? You brought it back.
You're welcome.
We then go to a women's world championship match of Chris Statlander versus Tekla. Listen, Tekla's presentation is awesome. You know, she comes out with the gear and her insane music. This was a hard back and forth match. You know, there was, I don't want to call it, it wasn't really technical. It was just a lot of like, everything looked like it was designed to hurt. A lot of heavy slams, a lot of kicks, a lot of, you know, there was some outside work. There was the Tekla spider suplex is awesome. I love that move. She pulls it off really well. Pieces thinking this match should have main evented. Listen, this was an awesome match. When I say this wasn't technical, that's not an insult. I mean, like, they clearly came out with a, you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you. Well, I'm going to slam you here, you're going to slam me there, I'm going to dive there. Like, it was like, you know, I appreciate that. Chris Statlander won by pinfall with the Saturday Night Fever, whatever her move is. Babes Wrath came out, they're celebrating. Out comes Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. There's some indication that by commentary that they're looking at the tag titles. It doesn't look like it's like a Megan Bain staring down the world title, which I appreciate. You know, Megan Bain had her shot there. Go for the tag. We need a tag feud. So I like that. I will say, Laron is saying this all, Laron's agreeing with pieces that should have main evented, and it was the first match on the graphic, and he wondered why they changed it. I mean, you had a pretty big main event too. I probably would have made your women's world title be the main event. I think that's what a world title, unless the other world title's being defended, I would always make your world title be the main event. So I'm agreeing with you guys. Don't know why they changed it. And it was a good match. It wasn't like you're like, oh, this is going to be a subpar match. It was good. What do you think about it?
You know, after seeing the main event, I love the main event, so I don't have any qualms about that. I wouldn't put this match first. I think that would have been really good to make it feel special and different. Tekla, like you said, Tekla's presentation is great. Like, she's doing really good stuff in AEW, but as much as it pains me to say, I think she would kill it in, like, in WWE or NXT. Just the way her persona, the way she works. But I don't know what she does from here after losing this match. Watching the match was fun. I thought she did a lot of shortcuts to, again, try to make up for her lack of size compared to Statlander. I would have liked to see her work more on taking out one of Statlander's arms to reduce her strength, or to take out one of her legs to, you know, try to help even her chances a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know where to go from here other than, you know, putting her more in trios with Julia Hart and Sky Blue. But
yeah, I mean, fun match. Yeah, so Laurent in chat is saying he thinks that they hurt the perception of the title by not having a main event. They could have opened with Swerve Andrade and done Kenny Rocky afterwards. I agree with that, but I also, Joe's idea of opening with this match wouldn't have been bad either, because I am one of those crazy people, and I think there's a lot of us out there that think the opener is just as important sometimes as the closer, because there's what set the tone for the night. So I would have been okay with that. What they do with Tekla next is important, because you're right. Like, she goes back to this trio. What does she do? The biggest problem they have is they never follow up on these. Challenges.
Think about like when Anna Jay had a short run, and she was kind of like, she was challenging for the world title at one time, and then she kind of got lost in the shuffle again.
Yeah, there is a big problem that in the women's division that a person challenges and then they disappear for a while, and so you got to stop that. I don't know who, but, and here's what bothers me, is like, her next feud could be with someone who doesn't have a title. It's okay to have non-title feuds in the women's division. It's okay to say, like, you know, her versus, I hate that I'm blanking on names, they have so many, but they have so many wrestlers that I'm trying to think of who I want that isn't directly into the titles. You know, well, because they put them all in ROH, so I don't really want to go down there. But, like, you know, but I don't know. Deonna has a title because she's the pure champion. But, like, that's my thing. Like, it'd be okay if you go to, and I wasn't doing Jamie Hayter, or because she's not teaming with Windsor. So, like, I was okay with that. Like, it's okay to have non-title feuds in your company.
But that would require more storyline for the women's division.
Yeah, like Laurent's asking, does she go for the TBS title, or do they give her a non-title feud? They don't do it often, but the ones they have done, they've done well. Yes, when they do it well, but they don't do it often. So I have no idea what they're going to do with her. You know, she's in a weird spot because all the faces of a certain level, I feel like, have titles, and she, you know, she's a heel. I don't know. I don't know.
Other than Tony and Mina.
Yeah.
They're facing on a high level, but they're without titles.
Yeah. We have some more cracks in the Callis family forming. Takeshita walks up to Fletcher and asks if he really forgiven Okada, then walks away before Fletcher can respond. I like that. Takeshita being like, why are you forgiving this dude? This dude's an asshole. So I like that. We go to another thing with Jungle Man. Jack Perry is talking about how he's going to take the AEW National Championship from Ricochet. But then the demand come out and they send Jack Perry through a table. I don't think there's anything especially to highlight here. Just typical wrestling fun.
Yep.
We then move on to our tag championship match of the night, which was Davis and Doyle. Double D's versus FTR. This was it's not really a hoss match because FTR they're not big guys.
No, but they strike like you.
Yeah, that was what is. Like, they wrestle heavy. Yeah, they wrestle like they're these big, and that's what this was. This was a hoss match. Big strikes, big hits, big slams. you weren't going to get anything fancy out of this. This was, you know, a lot of back and forth. I mean, they would chop the hell out of each other and their chests were just looking raw. It looked like Double D might have a chance to win. But the Death Riders came and Moxley hit Davis with the title belt. And then FTR won by Shatter Machine. Wait, and Pieces is saying Doyle got hurt. Are we sure about that? I saw some people saying that. Well, hold on, I'm going off track. So a couple things here. We'll address the Doyle injury in a second. One, a lot of fun. Love a Hoss match. Two, love Stokely on commentary. Stokely was on commentary, and he's way better than Callis. Three, love that they have the Death Riders now feuding with the Callis family. I think that's a lot of fun. Four, I love that FTR didn't have to sacrifice the fact that they are heels and have no problem winning by cheating. What did you think?
I had a lot of fun with match. I think it's a rare heel versus heel match. I mean, you don't seem to get those very often. So I like that part. And if Doyle got hurt, that's a big bummer because I'm really starting to like their tag team. I love the throwback, just big bruiser A style tag team of theirs. I don't think FTR is long for the titles. I feel like their title reign probably going to end here in the next couple of months. I am a little disappointed that, again, if Doyle got hurt, hopefully it's nothing serious, but I was really looking forward to them versus the Death Riders. I wanted to see if Moxley would go against them with Claudio, because I think him and Claudio versus them would have been a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, I don't know. I need to check on that injury thing.
Yeah, well, he's saying he immediately grabbed it and went to the back ASAP, which is a bad sign. I'm watching replays of it, and yeah, it doesn't look good.
No.
Oof. So he like had his arm up on the rope, and he got hit with a move where he dropped, and I think his arm hanging might have done something, but. Sometimes you just got to pray that it looked worse and it felt worse in the moment than it is. You know, sometimes those injuries aren't as severe as you think they are because.
I was wondering just, what happened for a while. He kind of disappeared for a while. So, yeah.
People are saying that he yelled out to Cash Wheeler that he just tore his bicep.
Oh, God.
Which obviously you don't know that when it, like, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just can't know that, but I hope it was more minor than you think, that he just pulled it in a really awkward way or something. But though I also know that like the feeling of tearing apparently is pretty unique. So that sucks. That really sucks. All right, we go backstage. We have Orange Cassidy. Sorry, it's hard to transition out of a guy getting hurt like that, who everyone's very excited for. We go backstage. You have Orange Cassidy being interviewed by Renee Paquette. Orange Cassidy starts to insult Wheeler Yuta's appearance. Wheeler Yuta rolls up, is like, what the hell are you doing? Should I make fun of you for wearing a Canadian tuxedo? Then Marina Shafir appears to get in Orange's face, but then Tony Storm shows up. And then they have like a face-off. I don't think there's anything special about this, just some good old fun. I don't know if you have any comments.
No, I'm waiting for the Wheeler Yuta redemption arc. I'm waiting for that storyline where he becomes clean shaven face, fully face Wheeler Yuta.
Oh my God. And fans come out with a clean haircut.
And fans love him, you know, like, yeah, I'm waiting for that.
It is amazing how well he got himself over with just being such a prick on the side of matches. Because
mm-hmm.
those fuck you Wheeler chants or fuck you Yuta chants, they're sincere in the sense of like, no one at like, it's not go praise. Away. What'd you say?
It's very high praise.
Yeah. Like it's not like go away stuff. It's hey, you're, you know, we like you and we're going to, you know, praise you. So Interesting. Then we go to our final match of the night, which was Andrade El Idolo versus Shane Swerve Strickland. I don't think they actually call him Shane anymore. I think he's just Swerve, but no. I like when guys have full names.
MJF calls him Shane.
Yeah. This was back and forth like a motherfucker. There was the house call at one moment that you thought would end the match. He literally hit it out of nowhere and you thought that was it. Andrade had a couple big moves where you thought he was going to pin Swerve. There was some stuff on the apron. It just a whole craziness. And then Andrade once again took a fan's phone to take a selfie, and then she handed him her number, I guess. I mean, she's a obviously whoever it is a wrestler, but I wonder who it was. Then to end the match, Andrade hit a low blow on Swerve and won the match. Because then he hit his move. What's his move called?
What was it called? What do you call like the DM or something? Or like?
Okay, so he hit him with a DM. I couldn't remember what it's called. I remember hearing it tonight and being like, that's weird. I didn't like the name of it. Hit him with the DM and won the match. We'll talk about that. What did you think of the match? I mean, the match was incredible. There's no way other way to say it. The match hit.
It did. It reminded me of the Andrade that I really like enjoyed watching from when I really thought like, oh my God, who is this guy? When he came on to the national scene, you know, and this kind of match highlighted everything fun about him and what he knew. And I don't feel like I've seen this version of Andrade in a while. There's so many near falls that I thought, oh, he's for sure going to lose because, you know, he had some near falls on Swerve. But for him to be able to win, was kind of refreshing because it gets Swerve a little bit out of that title picture. And I like the fact that Andrade is one step closer to it, and also based on him and MJF's ongoing social banter, I think that's a fun little tie into all this. So
yeah, agreed. The after the match stuff was fun. I mean, I thought the show was over. I was about to turn off my TV and you have MJF, and then, you know, Brody King interrupts him, and then Kenny Omega interrupts him, and then he walks into Andrade, and then he walks into, and then Hangman puts sand on the car. None of them were like important. It was just kind of a fun series of events of like he couldn't get away from his challengers. So I enjoyed it. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I don't
interesting
know
way to end a show.
What it does to him. I mean, does it make him paranoid eventually? Where it's like, you know, everyone's after me, like I need to always watch my back and protect myself, or like what do you think it does to him as a character?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think it will make him paranoid. I mean, he's already a coward, so you can't make him more of a coward. Like, but sorry, I was thinking the camera following him because I liked the design of the shot. It was like a oner. But I do think it will make him a coward, not a coward, a paranoid, because he is a coward. So,
do you think that, I know he when he was having a promo with Brody, he's like, maybe you should be you should come work for me and we can, you know, meet him, be my, basically his bodyguard, right? Would you think it's time for him to have a bodyguard again? A heavy?
If you want him to have the title long, he might need it, but people might be, he hasn't had a heavy in a really long time. But for whatever reason, I think people might think it feels like it hasn't been that long. But yeah, I think he might need a new heavy because he's a coward and he's getting paranoid. He'd have to bring someone in to defend him. I just can't see how you go any other way. But that was AEW Dynamite for tonight. What'd you think of it as the show as a whole?
Really good in-ring matches. I really liked. I don't know if there's a lot of matches I didn't like. Even the Rocky and Kenny one, for as short as it was just fun to see something that we don't always see on TV. But yeah, I think if I'm using the Ryan fun level score, I would probably probably a 3.65.
Oh, see, a 3.65 is actually then rounds up.
Wow. Okay. What do you want to do?
Well, no, I mean, you said, I'm just saying, if you're using math.
I was told there'd be no math today.
Well, you were told wrong. I think you're right. Most of the show was a 3. The matches were 4s. Mm-hmm. So outside of the matches, you got 3s, but in the matches, you got 4s. So to me, that's a 4.
That's fair.
But it was, at least it was a good Dynamite. I appreciate a good Dynamite.
And next week they're in Vegas, and who knows? Who knows what will happen there?
Yeah. Whatever happens there will stay there.
Is that what they say? That's something that saying?
No, I just made it up. That was original.
Wow.
So, Joe.
Copyright that. Yeah, that's right.
I might copyright that. When you're not here, where can you be found and what are you doing?
Running away from the grind. But other than that, you can find me on some of the social medias @_AsianJoe. I have a serial review blog still. I just haven't done a serial review in a while because I haven't found anything new that was really weird or wacky. So, again, if you find the serial that's kind of odd, please message me on social media somehow and let me know so I can make some content. But Ryan, you've been busy making content.
For the most part. Missed last week because I wasn't feeling too well myself, and it's hard to do stuff when you're not feeling too well. When I'm not here, you can follow me on all our socials at Mark Order Pod. If you want to follow my history stuff, it's @here for history @_here for history, depending on the social, and on YouTube, Here for History. I will have a new video theoretically coming out Friday, assuming my editing finishes correctly. Editing, I am not good at editing. But we're getting through that. So I should have a new one coming out, and yeah, more of those to come. But I thank everyone for tuning in. We will be back next week. It looks like maybe we have Kate, maybe we don't. We don't know with her. But thank you, chat, for everyone. Laurent, Big G, Pieces, Scott George, anyone I missed, Neos. Thanks for coming and hanging out. Always makes it more fun. And with that, I click the outro screen and then I go down and I click the outro.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly